Anyway, this morning we're continuing our sermon series on the I Am statements that Jesus made. This is really some good stuff. He made seven statements in the Gospel of John when he said, I am. And so far we've covered three of them. We talked about the one in John where he said, I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me, even if he dies, Jesus said, he'll live. We talked about the one where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. These are profound statements. 2 weeks ago, we covered the one where Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger. Today, we'll be reading in the Gospel of John chapter 10, where Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. There's also another I am statement in here where he says, I am the door. We won't be covering that today. We'll cover that next week. But, this part where Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Now, I don't know if many of you, if this brings up something in your mind, but I would think, at least with the disciples, when he said that, I would think immediately they were thinking of one of the Psalms in the book of Psalms that they were very familiar with. It's in their scriptures. They were Jewish. They grew up with the book of Psalms. In the book of Psalms, famous Psalm, Psalm 23, written by King David, over 1,000 years old. These people knew this Psalm. In the Psalm, David says, the Lord is my shepherd. And when David said the Lord is his shepherd, the word he was using there, we would use this word Jehovah, another word is Yahweh. It was a distinctive title that was used only for God, God Almighty. So David in the Psalm says, the Lord is my shepherd. And so now we're going to be reading a passage where Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. You just have to wonder what the look on their face would have been. They knew what he was saying. He was saying, listen, guys, you know that Psalm 23 where David said, the Lord is my shepherd, where David said, God is my shepherd? That's me. Like that. Like, I'm him. I'm God. I mean, just the thought of hearing a man, you know, a human being looking at you and saying, I'm God. I made you. I created you. This is what these I am statements are about. They're unique statements that God used when he spoke in the Old Testament to different people. He would use this phrase, I am that I am. It meant Jesus was calling himself God. Powerful statement. So let's read in John chapter 10 this morning where Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd. John chapter 10, we'll start in verse 1. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, the doorkeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. They just couldn't grasp this, so he really drives it home. Then he says to them, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. So we'll talk more about this next week. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life, that they may have it more abundantly. And then here it is, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But he who is a hireling and not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he's a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own, and the Father knows me. Even so, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold. When he was talking to the disciples at that time, he was referring to other sheep being the Gentiles. That would be us. He's talking about, I'm here for the whole world. Other sheep that I have, they're not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. So here we have Jesus calling himself the Good Shepherd and then calling us his sheep. The only problem with that, I mean, if I'm just being honest with you, I would rather not have been called a sheep. I mean, wouldn't it have been better if he called us like lions, bears, eagles, tigers? I mean, something big, you know, something powerful. But no, he decides to call us sheep. And unfortunately, that was not really meant to be complimentary. All through the scriptures, there are references to sheep and God's people being sheep, and that isn't really complimentary. Because there are character traits about sheep which are not really something we like to think about when we think about ourselves. But this is why he calls us sheep. First of all, sheep are dumb. They are just, I don't know if I would say they're the dumbest animals in the world, but they do qualify for at least being in that category. I mean, you don't see people training sheep. You go to the circus, what do you see? You see trained horses, you see trained elephants, you see trained dogs. You can go to a flea circus, and what do you see? Trained fleas. Have you ever seen trained sheep, you know, doing tricks at the circus? No, they're just not, they're not trainable, they're dumb. And I think maybe there's some correlation. You know, why is he calling us sheep? Maybe because when it comes to real life, we think so highly of ourselves. Maybe we're really not that smart, especially regarding spiritual things. And maybe, in fact, we do need a shepherd. But, I mean, there's other things about sheep. They wander. Sheep get lost so easily. I mean, they're constantly having to be chased down by the shepherd. They are what I would call directionally challenged. Anybody know somebody directionally challenged? Sometimes you're married to them, you know. Fear not, because our government's so awesome right now, there's probably some federal funding for you if you're directionally challenged. Probably a program that's funded that you can get money for, go to college free if you're directionally challenged. It's, country's really awesome right now. People don't know the difference between east and west, north and south. You say, you know, we're east of you, and they're looking at you, what is east a place? What? Sheep are like that. They are so dumb. They wander, and I don't know what they're thinking, but they wander from the herd, or the flock, and they put themselves in really bad situations off by themselves, and they get lost easily. Isaiah in the Old Testament talked about this when he said, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. We wander. And we do wander. You know, some of you today are wandering through life trying to figure it out. Where am I supposed to go? What am I supposed to do? And again, without a shepherd, people wander through life. What about the awesome defense mechanisms of sheep? What defense do they have? I mean, cats have claws, some animals have fangs, some animals have horns, some animals can kick, some animals can fly away, some animals can run fast, some animals are strong, some animals are mean, some animals disguise themselves. Sheep, they just stand there. Bah. I mean, it's just the dumbest things, you know. But why would he call us sheep? Well, maybe because sometimes we are defenseless. And I think especially when it comes to spiritual stuff, I would say we are defenseless. And without God and the presence of his Holy Spirit, there is a real tendency to believe lies, spiritual lies, that the devil puts in our minds. I mean, sometimes people really walk through life and they're not even, they don't have their shield up or their armor up. And without that, we are defenseless. And then this one might hurt a little, but sheep smell. They're dirty, man. If you haven't been around sheep, you know there's still a sheep farmer right down the road here in Reynoldsburg on Wagoner Road. Go ask him if you could visit his sheep. Man, they are just dirty, man. You know, you see sheep on TV and they're so white and fluffy. Oh, you know, the ones you see on TV, those things have been power washed, man. I mean, these sheep, oh. You know, we brought some sheep over one time for our church's 23rd anniversary, and I had them, I borrowed them from the guy and had them over here for a week, and oh my gosh, you know, dumb and just smelly and fur, you know, their wool's all matted. I mean, they don't even know how to take care of themselves. But again, where's the analogy? Well, we're sheep. You know, you hear people say, oh, he's a good person. She's such a good person. He's such a good person. Really? How do we look from God's eyes? You look like a sheep. It's the way it is. You're dirty. You're matted. You're a sinner. God's the fluffy white one. You know, God's the one who's perfect, and we are like sheep. And we don't know how to clean ourselves, don't even have the ability to clean ourselves. And without the shepherd and God's intervention in our lives, we are dirty and we are smelly. But how about we talk about Jesus calling himself the good shepherd? What's so good about the good shepherd? Well, I hope and pray this morning, if you don't like the fact that you're called a sheep, at least like the fact that you have a great shepherd. He gives us some descriptions here. What does he mean when he says he's a great shepherd? He says here, verse 3 and 4, he says, the doorkeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name. He leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. He calls his sheep by name. Why is he a good shepherd? Because he cares about us so much that he knows each one of us by name. This is what we mean when we talk about God as a personal God. He's not a distant God. He's not some God that is not able to be related, be involved in our life. He's relational. And he's so relational that he knows our name. And think about your own life, and think about when you meet people and somebody remembers your name. It affects you. There's something about knowing a person's name that's important. I'll never forget this time, one time here at church on Sunday years ago. After church, I was in the foyer by the door, you know, just saying hi to everybody. And I see this lady coming to the door, and I realize, oh my gosh, she used to be at our church 15, 20 years ago. And I don't have a second to other than that thought, and she's up shaking my hand. And instantly I say to her, hi, and to this day I can't even remember her name, but I said her name. And she stopped, and she looked at me, and she said, wow, you remember me. I said, yeah, I know you used to come to our church, and we talked a little bit. She was in town visiting, and had a job transfer that brought her down there, but she was just back visiting some relatives, and she introduced her daughter to me, and we chit-chatted, and she left. Later that day, I get an email. She tells me, Pastor Dave, I just want you to know what an impact it had on my daughter's life that you knew my name. And I was thinking, wow, man, what's up? And she says in the email, her daughter was like college age, and she was talking with her mom, had been talking with her mom for a period of time, and said to her, I just don't really know if God knows me personally. Like, am I just a number? How can that happen? And then her mom's saying, well, you know, telling her God does. And she says, hey, we're going to be in Reynoldsburg. Let's go visit this church I used to go to. And her daughter says to her, fine, but Pastor's never even going to recognize you. You know, forget, you know, don't have any expectations. And she said, when you called my name, she said, my daughter said to me in the car, wow, I guess God can know me personally. I mean, names are important. You know, knowing somebody's name is important. Here Jesus is saying, I'm the good shepherd, but man, I'm a special kind of shepherd. I know the name of every one of my sheep. I mean, how important is that? When you get that revelation, I'm telling you, that plants something in your heart. That heals you. You're not a number to God. You're not part of a large group that God's, you know, busy and just happens to know you're around there. But can I just take a little diversion here? Can I just help you a little bit? Learning people's names is important. And do not give in to this lie, oh, I'm terrible with names. Really? What? Well, you're born name challenged? Maybe there's federal funding for you, go to college, probably some drug you can take, you know. You're not name challenged. I mean, really what we're saying, if I say, oh, you know, what's your name? And you say, I'm just terrible with names. I'm just saying, look, I'm really, you know, I don't care about your name. You're not important to me, really. But they're important to God. I mean, make the effort. make the effort. I don't think anybody's gifted with names. I think it just means I'm interested in you and I respect you, and it means I'm going to take the effort to get to know you, and maybe sometimes I have to ask you two or three times, could you tell me your name again? It's not like offensive. It means I'm really trying to get to know your name, and this is what we're trying to encourage here at the church. It's just something special when people know your name. Imagine if somebody important knows your name, you know, a governor, a famous movie star, an athlete, and they call you by name, you know, a powerful person, and they call you by name. It's like, wow, well, God, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know your name. I'm that personal. You are that important to me. I know your name. And then he talks about, he doesn't just know our name, but he's involved in our life. He says, I will lead them. I'll guide them. You know, verse 3, he says, the sheep hear his voice, he calls them out, leads them out. So he's not just a distant God who created us, but he means he wants to get involved in our lives. So that means if we have issues, if we have decisions we're making, he wants to know about that. He'll lead us. You know, you're trying to make a decision. Should I take this job? Shouldn't I? You know, should I date this person? Shouldn't I? Should we have more children? Shouldn't we? Should we make this major purchase? And sometimes you get this lie in your head, like, well, God's just so busy. He's holding the universe together. He can't take time to tell you about this job. Figure it out yourself. No, he's saying, I will lead them. And he even gives us clarity on this. He says, I'm not just going to lead them, but he says, I'll lead them because they know my voice. For they know my voice. How does he lead us? He leads us by personally speaking to us. Well, what do you mean? Like an audible voice? No, not an audible voice. It is a small, still voice. It's inside. I think sometimes it shows up as a brilliant idea that you just came up with. But can I help you out? You're not that brilliant. You're a sheep. Where'd that brilliant thought come from? Is it possible that's the voice of God? You're trying to figure out a problem and, oh, I get it. Or you're trying to work out a situation. This idea pops into your head. That's probably the voice of God. He does have a still small voice. He does speak to us inside. You can hear his voice. He really does want to speak to us. I think he speaks to us personally, just inside of our hearts. I think probably more often than not, the voice of God is heard through Scripture. I mean, I just know when I read his word, I hear the voice of God. It comes alive. I hear God speak to me through fellowship sometimes. I'm just talking to somebody and something you say, it's like, oh yeah, that's good. You just sense the Holy Spirit speaking. He can speak to you through a song. You know, you'll be worshiping, all of a sudden that song comes alive to you. But the point is, he's saying, I will lead you because you'll know my voice. You can know the voice of God. I don't think any of us hit it perfectly. Nobody's ever going to say, I always know it's the voice of God. But you can become familiar with it. I'll give you an analogy. Like, let's say you come in here on a Saturday morning and it's the women's tea and there's 60 women in here and they're all talking. Just as a comparison, if you came in here and there were 60 guys, they'd probably all be watching a movie. But you come in and 60 women are talking. And I say to you, hey, if I blindfold you, could you walk around and pick out my wife just by hearing her voice? You know, depending who you are, you might go, no, no idea. Or maybe if you know Roxanne, you might go, yeah, I probably can. But it would have something to do with your relationship with her. But I can tell you this, if I walk in here, it's the woman's tea, 60 ladies here, they're all talking, you blindfold me, I walk around, bingo, I just know Roxanne's voice. I mean, we've been together so many years, I know her voice. So. Can you know this voice of the Good Shepherd? Yeah. How do you get to know? It's familiarity. You can hear it through Scripture. You spend time with him. But the more you get to know him, the more you'll recognize his voice. He is a Good Shepherd. He wants to lead you, help you in your life, and it's done through his voice. He really will speak to you. Last couple things we'll finish up here. It says he cares for his sheep. Like verse 10 here, the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. But he says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Now, you have to catch this stuff. He says, I care for my sheep, I take care of them. The reason he's saying that is because the sheep represent him. I mean, it's like that with anything. If you own something, the care of that shows something about you. If you have If you have animals and they're all starving and malnourished, that says something about the shepherd. If you own things and you don't take care of them, it says something about the owner. He's saying, I'm the good shepherd. I really do care that my sheep are good and healthy. But he says it here in a way like this, that they may have life, but he adds this passage here, and that they may have it more abundantly. He's trying to be emphatic, driving a point home. He could have said, I have come that you may have life. End of sentence. But he drives the point home by saying, not just life like you're existing, but he says, the kind of life I'm talking about is abundantly. He wants you blessed. This is the will of God. Never believe the lies of the enemy that God does not want you blessed. You're his sheep. He's the shepherd. He wants his sheep healthy and blessed and in good condition. Now, is he saying you're never going to have a hard time? No. Jesus said later, you know, I'm in the world. I was in the world. Have no fear. You'll have tribulation, but I have overcome. You're going to face difficulty. We're in a broken world. There's no way you're going to get through life without dealing with difficulty. But I believe what he's saying is, even in the difficulty, you can be blessed. You can have an abundant life. It's God's will that you live the abundant life. He's the kind of shepherd that cares for his sheep. And then he just takes it another step. By the way, he goes, I'm not just a hireling. I'm not just paid and taking my wages here. I'm the kind of shepherd who will lay down his life for his sheep. And in case we wonder if that's true, he proved it. He laid down his life for us. For us, we're a sheep, that we might have life, that sin would no longer have dominion over us. And so you know, in summary here, this thing where he calls himself the good shepherd, man, my prayer is that this gets into your heart. Understand. And there's so many other character traits about sheep and shepherds. You can read it in Psalm 23. But here he's saying, first of all, it is a little humiliating that he calls us sheep. I'm all right with that. I'd prefer to have been called a tiger or a lion or something. But I'm okay. I'm a sheep because I have a great shepherd. And the best thing about this shepherd is he knows me personally, my name. I just think this. There's something healing about that. And not just he knows my name, he wants to lead me and guide me. He wants to take care of me, make sure I'm blessed. And he will do whatever it takes to protect me to the point of laying down his life. He is the good shepherd. Amen? Let's close in prayer. Jesus, I just am so grateful that you made these profound statements. Today, reading the passage where you said, I am the good shepherd. You know your sheep by name. You lead us and guide us. And that we follow you because we hear your voice. You're that involved in our lives. And God, I pray this morning, I ask in Jesus' name that this truth would become reality to us. That it would settle in our hearts this realization that we're not just a number, we're not just a part of a crowd. We are special to you, so much so that, Jesus, you said you would leave the 99 just to come and find us. You would do whatever it takes. I pray, Father, that we would get to know your voice, that we would recognize when you are speaking to us. And in those times, God, where thoughts pop up into our hearts and mind, we might just take a moment and see, is that you speaking to us? Is that you giving us guidance and wisdom through scripture, through a song, through another person in fellowship, through prayer? But that we would begin to recognize you lead us through your voice. You speak to us personally. Let me just take a minute here as we get ready to close in worship. I just want to pray. I just sense there's some of you this morning in situations where you need the good shepherd to be the good shepherd for you. I think some of you this morning making major decisions, major purchases, decisions about moving, not moving, education, career changes. And I just want to pray a blessing that today your spiritual ears would begin to be opened, that you could begin to say, yes, God speaks to me. God is guiding me. If if you're in that situation this morning, just raise your hand. I just want to pray for you right where you're at. I see a couple hands here, a hand right here, a couple bunch of hands right up front here. Hold your hand up. We're going to pray for you. I just sense the Holy Spirit wants to open your ears this morning. Open your spiritual eyes. Father, in the name of Jesus right now, each person whose hand is raised, Father, they're calling upon you. Jesus, you said you were the good shepherd. They're asking for wisdom for career changes, for major purchases, maybe relational. In the name of Jesus, I pray, God, they begin to recognize your voice, that you, that they would believe that you want to speak to them. And even this morning, God, as we enter into worship, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you drop a word into their soul this morning, the beginning of the direction that you have for them. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, let's stand up. We're going to close with worship. Have our ushers come forward. Just stay in the presence of the Lord. I encourage you to open your hearts. Just let the Holy Spirit of God just stir inside of you right now. Just come, Holy Spirit. You are our breath. You're our life. Just as we're worshiping this morning, I just got this sense that there's some people here this morning that as I was speaking and as we were worshiping, you felt this stirring in your heart. I think maybe it's the recognition that God's calling you, that you're beginning to realize you really need God in your life. This is different than saying I go to church. This is different than saying my mom and dad are Christians. It's that realization that God is tugging at your heart this morning. God's knocking at your door. God's calling your name. And it's your moment where you say, I want to give my life to the Good Shepherd. I want to be a part of his flock. Maybe you have been wandering. I don't know. I just get this sense that there's some people that God's calling this morning. Maybe you made this decision years ago as a youngster, but now you realize you've wandered away, but you're here this morning and the Holy Spirit's tugging at your heart. He's calling your name. He wants to be your shepherd, that you could experience life more abundantly, a full life. So let's just take a moment here. If you're sensing that stirring in your heart, I want to give you a chance to respond to it. Just going to pray and ask in a minute if you're sensing that stirring. If you'd like to make a decision and open your lives up to God, just we're going to ask you to raise your hand right where you're at. We're going to just pray a blessing for you and just be a part of that. But there is a time. There is a time in every person's life where you have to make the decision. Do I want to be a part of his flock? So I just invite Holy Spirit right now, just knock at those doors, just stir again that spirit within them, God, that they begin to sense you're calling them to be a part of your family, your flock. Just break down any excuses and defenses, but help them to realize you want to be their good shepherd this morning. Just come, Holy Spirit. You're sensing that this morning, that stirring, and you want to make a decision, would you just do me a favor right where you're standing? Just hold your hand up and say, Pastor Dave, I want to make a decision this morning. I want to open my heart up. I want to let Jesus be the good shepherd of my life. Right there's one hand. Hold it up. Come on, God's tugging at your heart. He's calling your name. Doesn't matter how long you've been coming to this church. There's another hand right over here. Two hands. Come on. This is that part of the service where you get to be personally involved. Is he tugging at your heart this morning? Anybody else? Just hold your hand up. We're going to pray for you. We're going to pray a simple prayer. Truly invite Jesus to be the Lord of our lives. Anybody else? Hold your hand up. All right, so we have two sisters right over here with their hands up. If you're standing right with them, just do me a favor. Just stand right with them. Put your hands on them. We're going to pray. We're all going to pray a real simple prayer. I believe the Holy Spirit's going to honor this prayer. Truly make the difference in your life. Right over here, yep, right over here. Right over there, Mark, yep. So Holy Spirit, we just invite you right now. Jesus, come into my life. Become my good shepherd. I surrender my life to you. And I want you to know my name. I want you to call me. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. Be my Lord and Savior. Simple prayer right now, Holy Spirit, just honor this. Honor this right now. Just breathe it in as we were just singing. Be my breath. Be my life. Give me life. Set me free. Speak against any darkness in the name of Jesus that has held you back. Holy Spirit, fill them with light right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, bless you, both of you, for raising your hand. We're excited that you're responding to the Holy Spirit. It's awesome, man. It's awesome. We have our prayer team up front here. We're going to close in prayer. Just open it up if you have some special needs. Like earlier in the service, I asked if you're facing some major decisions. Maybe you'd like a little more prayer on that. I got this sense somebody having some ringing in their ears. I don't know if it's coming at night or you're having it during the day, but I think sometimes when the Holy Spirit just pinpoints things, maybe it's that moment where God wants to touch you and bring some healing. If you have some special needs, I want to pray for you this morning. Come on up, Katie. Hold on. So, go ahead, Katie.
Hey, so very few times I hear the audible voice of God, but I just got a word that there's someone who needs to receive healing for Hodgkin's lymphoma. Or know someone very close to them. So I think that God's just ready to pour out his presence in that and just release healing in there. All right. If that's for you, I'll just be standing over here.
Awesome. All right. So we're going to close with a song. If that's for you, it's your chance. If you have some other needs, there's people over here who'd be happy to pray with you.
This love so undeniable, I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable, I can hardly think as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. As you call me deeper still into love, 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 love. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're perfect. You are perfect in all.
Service. Hope you have a great week. Be blessed, and we'll see you here next week.